Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Our bad habits create prisons of our own making. The walls we build keep us from being all that we could be and should be. But God wants us to be free. That's why He's made for us a way of escape. Today, final thoughts on breaking the chains that bind you. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in Matthew chapter 4 in our series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. And today, Pastor Lutzer concludes his study on breaking the chains of bondage.
And I want to give you a little bit of practical advice here. If you reject those thoughts immediately in the name of the Lord Jesus, if the desires have already been set in motion, which is to say that you have sinned, the thing to do immediately is to confess your sin. Immediately. No matter where you are, instantly confess your sin. Here's why. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Did you know that if you confess your sins immediately, God will actually cleanse the desires of your body so that your thought life will be able to get back on the right course? Because you see, God not only can deal with the mind, He can actually deal with a cleansing process of the soul. And that's why it is so desperately important to deal with temptation immediately. Immediately. Oh, how I've had to learn that, because sometimes I've thought to myself, well, in a while I'll confess my sins, because you think I'll put it off. And you think to yourself, you know, I'm embarrassed about this. Why should I confess my sins immediately? But listen, you're going to have to end up confessing that sin anyway. So why not do it immediately? Then not only will you be forgiven, but also God will take the desires and cleanse them. He will do that subjectively in your soul as you apply 1 John 1:9. I refer again to a man who was a homosexual. And he said to me, he said, sometimes I had to confess my sin perhaps 4 or 5 times per minute. The temptation was so strong. But eventually, he said, Satan gave up on me, and that man today is delivered. But the time to use 1 John 1:9 is not at some future moment, but immediately deal with that sin, and you will find that it will not gain the root in your life, and how important that is. Now, that is true regardless of whether the sin is sensual or other kinds of sin. To deal with it immediately is very important. Now, a last observation, and that is this, that victory is won by our authority. By our authority. Now, perhaps you are struggling in some area. Some thought comes to your mind and you say, I reject that thought in the name of the Lord Jesus. And just like that, that thought is back. Perhaps some of you are experiencing a spiritual struggle that is so intense, that is so great, that even when you reject thoughts, they come back to you immediately. Now, when you encounter that, it could well be that you are not merely dealing with your sinful habits, but that you are dealing with the devil. You'll notice that Jesus here did not argue with the devil, but Jesus constantly quoted the Word of God. And finally, Jesus said to him in verse 10, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And it says, then the devil left him. And there may be times in your experience and in your life where you have to use this formula and simply say, Begone, Satan, for it is written, and then quote a verse of Scripture that relates directly to the problem that you are facing. Now, sometimes people think that the way in which you deal with the devil is to simply shout a verse of Scripture at him and it'll do the work. No, it won't. It isn't a matter of having a shouting match and the person who can shout the loudest will win. You shout a verse of Scripture at the devil and he might shout one back, as he did in the case of Jesus Christ. The power of the Word of God is not that it is some sort of a fetish that we can simply throw at the devil. The power of the Word of God is simply this, that when we bring our lives under the authority of the Word of God, it is then that we have the ability to exercise authority. You remember the centurion? He says, I am a man who has authority, and I can say to so-and-so that you go, and he goes. But the centurion says, I am also a man under authority. And as we bring our lives in subjection to the Word of God and bring them under the authority of the Scriptures, then we can say with confidence, be gone, Satan, for it is written, and Satan must flee. When we use truth that boldly, he must flee. When we use truth that boldly. And there are passages of Scripture that talk about the fact that we are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. And just as Satan is under Jesus Christ's feet, so he is under ours, because we are there with him. If we, so to speak, in boldness say, be gone, Satan, for it is written. And it's amazing what sometimes happens in people's lives when they exercise their authority. I think that one of the best kept secrets in the Christian church is the authority of the believer. And people do not realize that they have that authority. It is an amazing authority that God delegates to us. As we bring our lives under the authority of the Word of God, we can exercise that authority. Some of you parents who are praying for unsaved young people, or maybe your children are out in the world involved in all sorts of iniquity, the best way that you can pray for them is not merely to say, oh God, change them, but you as a parent, as a high priest before God, what you ought to do is intercede on their behalf and to say, in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, we as parents take back the ground that our young person has given to Satan. We take back that ground. As a priest before God, I've seen some of the most amazing answers to prayer when parents pray just that boldly, because their young people perhaps are in a position where they aren't going to do it. And so the parents say, we as priests before the living God, we not only intercede for our young people by asking God to change them, but we by faith stand between heaven and hell for them, and we take back that ground. That is your authority as a believer. And God answers such boldness on our part. Now, I want to conclude with simply saying that the best way that you can insulate your life from satanic attack is through righteousness. You know, the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness. You know that some of you may be experiencing demonic activity in your life, but the real reason that you are experiencing it is because there is some sin in your life that you haven't really dealt with. I remember talking with someone who had such demonic activity in their life that they were so deeply agitated that sometimes those spirits had to be rebuked just in conversation. That's the intensity with which this person was in spiritual struggles, and I was giving them all sorts of ways to deal with Satan, and nothing helped. And finally, I asked this person, I said, is there some sin that you have not told me about that you have never been able to put under the blood of Christ? And this person said, yes. And then they told me about an incident in their past where there was an immoral relationship, and they had never been able to gain victory over that, and that guilt was so exploited by the devil. Now, when does Satan accuse you? I'll tell you when he does it. He does it during the night, and he does it during the day. You remember that verse in Revelation? He says he accuses the saints day and night. Now, once this person was able to see the victory of the blood of Jesus Christ and claim by faith that the blood had indeed cleansed them from that sin, and that there was no way that that sin could ever be held against them again because God's forgiveness is so complete, a remarkable thing happened. The demonic activity ceased. In most cases, what is really at root is some sin that people haven't dealt with. If you intend to have any victory at breaking your sinful habit, if you intend to be victorious in the struggle that we have with satanic powers, you must deal with sin. And you tell a lot of people that, and they say, if that's what I've got to do, I'm not going to do it. Because dealing with sin is painful. And you can go to all sorts of conferences and have all sorts of remedies, but you will never be free in your spirit until you deal with sin. So first of all, accept the fact that you will be tempted. Recognize and be very, very cautious in moments of weakness, when you've been victorious or when you're under strain and pressure. Deal with the temptation immediately, like Jesus did, and deal with it by bringing your life under the authority of the Word of God, like Christ did. Jesus Christ's life was lived under the authority of the Father. Therefore, Jesus could exercise authority and say, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written," and you can exercise that authority too, as your life deals with sin, and then your life is brought into subjection to the living God. And you will learn that in the process of breaking that sinful habit, God will teach you things that are just tremendous. That's why I'm so excited when I talk to people. When people come with problems, I always look for sin, because there's such a good remedy for that. And the thing that God wants us to do is to use these sorts of struggles to teach us things about Himself that we wouldn't know otherwise. So rejoice. Don't look so sad, some of you. Be exceedingly glad, for God is going to do great things in your life as you apply the Word of God to your life. Now, there may be some of you here who have never known what it is to ever put your sins under the blood of Christ, because you're not even saved. You know, in a moment, we're going to be singing a song. And if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you ought to get out of your seat and follow the counselors to these rooms, and to say, "Lord Jesus, You died for me, and I am a sinner, and I accept You tonight." Now you do that. You do that, and I encourage you to, because you will discover freedom and forgiveness from the only one qualified to do those things for us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You so much that You have given to us, Your Word says, You have given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Help us, Father, as we try to break our sinful habits, as we dedicate ourselves to You and Your Word, and as we deal with sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you might ask the question, what is it that we learn about ourselves as we struggle with sin? First of all, we learn about our helplessness. But at the same time, we learn about the grace of God, and we learn what submission to God is all about. This is the last day we're making a very special resource available for you. It's a book I've written entitled, How to Break a Stubborn Habit. For a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. I believe that when you read it, you will be greatly encouraged. I want people to see that resources are available, but they must be accepted according to God's Word.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer concluding Breaking the Chains of Bondage, the last of four messages in his series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. Revival, an old term for times when God visited His church in power. Next time, we'll look to 1 Thessalonians for lessons on what happens when God comes to church. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.